From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudet. This is Idaho Matters. At one time, millions of buffalo covered more than 30 million acres of landscape that stretches through the United States and into Canada. Now, that was before these giant animals were hunted almost to extinction back in the 1800s. Well, fast forward to today, many people are coming together to try to return the buffalo to Blackfoot lands and all the way into Glacier National Park. It's called the Inini Initiative. Inini means buffalo in the Blackfeet language, and it's no ordinary conservation project. This reintroduction is being led by the Blackfeet Nation, and it's as much about healing the people as it is about healing the animals and the land. Dr. Libby Lundstrom is part of that project, and she's a professor of environmental studies and global studies. She's also the research director of Boise State University's School of Public Service. And she is joining us today to talk about the initiative as well as this new model of conservation. I really want to welcome you to the program.
Thank you for having me. It's a privilege to be here.
So, Libby, can we start by you explaining to us what exactly this initiative is?
Yeah, so the Inni Initiative is a broader initiative across the Blackfoot Confederacy. And so just for some background, the Confederacy consists of four Blackfoot nations. There's the Blackfeet on the Montana side of the border, and then three Blackfoot nations on the Canadian side of the border in Alberta. And about 2008, 2009, tribal elders across the Confederacy got together to talk about the loss of buffalo in Blackfoot territory and how it might be possible to reintroduce buffalo across the Confederacy. And that project began to really take root in the Blackfeet Nation in Montana, with this focus on trying to get buffalo back on the landscape, back on the reservation, and then eventually into Glacier National Park.
So what exactly are the goals of the initiative?
Yeah, the goals are, I mean, I think the most straightforward goal is just to get importantly, to get buffalo back on the ground and to recognize that the numbers of buffalo fell from tens of millions to less than 1,000 in the 1800s. And so this becomes an important piece of repairing that history of getting buffalo back on the land. But beyond the sort of getting buffalo there, there's a big focus on cultural renewal, this idea that the Blackfoot, they are buffalo people. And with the buffalo being wiped out in the 1800s, that this was a blow to them. The buffalo were an important source of food, really vital to their understanding of themselves, to their culture, and to get buffalo back on the ground, that there's a sense that there's a cultural renewal and a cultural repair that comes with that. And I think tied to that, there's a broader importance of getting buffalo back on the ground, that it becomes a form of language revitalization, that children can begin to learn the Blackfoot language. It becomes easier to do that by focusing on the buffalo. Also a big focus on food sovereignty, this idea that buffalo provides a really healthy source of meat that's low in fat, for example, that this is important to making the Blackfoot healthier in their diet. And then there's also a political element here, this idea, especially that if buffalo can get back into Glacier National Park, that the Blackfoot are able to regain some control over the park, what was formerly part of their territory. And a sense, too, that as the buffalo move from Glacier into Canada and cross the border, that it might be easier for the Blackfoot themselves to cross that international border. The international border was cut right through Blackfoot territory with, you know, no regard for the Blackfoot people at all. So an idea that this could also kind of reopen the border to make Blackfoot territory whole once again. So I think we're seeing goals on multiple levels.
So with that said, I want to talk a little bit more about, as you mentioned, how, like, far-reaching this is, right? I mean, because I think, you know, just if you just look at it, you think, oh, we want to move more buffalo back onto land, right? Onto native lands. They were almost made extinct back in the 1800s. But as you mentioned, I mean, this really sounds like trying to make sure that this culture also doesn't become extinct, that this culture survives. And is that kind of a fair assessment to make about this conservation project?
Yeah, it's interesting. I wouldn't say that the focus is on making sure that the culture survives. I think that's true in some sense, especially when we look at language. There is a sense that a lot of the tribal elders who are fluent speakers will no longer be with us. And that there is a need to safeguard the language, the Blackfoot language. But the more common language that is used to describe the buffalo reintroduction is that it becomes an important means of repairing culture. I don't think there's a strong fear that Blackfoot culture itself will die out, but a sense that that this becomes a way to strengthen culture and to strengthen Blackfoot identity and Blackfoot sense of stewardship and ownership over the lands. And so it becomes a form of cultural renewal through the reintroduction of buffalo.
So how did the initiative get started?
It got started about 2008, 2009, when tribal elders, I'd mentioned across the Confederacy, so across the U.S.-Canada border, they got together to talk about the significance of the loss of buffalo and what it would mean to return buffalo to the land. And out of that, those conversations, a partnership with WCS, which is a wildlife conservation society and environmental organization, began to work with Blackfoot elders and Blackfoot leaders to really move this forward, to talk about the practicality of getting buffalo back on the landscape. And so over the course of, you know, the last few decades, there's been a focus, I think, that started out with this idea that this would be a long-term project. And then it really began to pick up speed probably in the last 5 years or so, with, you know, tribal councils getting on board, with more support from environmental organizations, really trying to get buffalo back on the ground. So it's been very much a grassroots effort led by the tribes themselves, but they've been working in close partnership, especially with conservation organizations, to make that happen, and very much working with the parks as well. There's been a really close relationship both with Glacier National Park, which is just to the west of the Blackfeet Reservation, and Waterton Lakes National Park, which is on the Canadian side of Glacier, making sure that once buffalo leave the Blackfeet Reservation, that they have sort of a safe place in Glacier and in Waterton Lakes, and in a very real sense are invited into those landscapes where buffalo have been gone for 150 years.
So I'm curious about who's all involved with this initiative, because the project covers a really large patchwork of land, as you just mentioned, but also ownership, right? Because this is public land to private land, and as you said, to national parks. So tell us, you know, everyone who is negotiating all of this. And so let's start with that first.
Yeah, so it is primarily the tribe, the Blackfeet Nation in Montana, and also the First Nations, the three Blackfoot First Nations in Canada, have been involved and leading this forward. So I would say they're very much at the forefront of this. Mm-hmm. And then bringing in the conservation organizations to support this. The relationship with the parks is huge, because that enlarges the land base where buffalo can roam freely. There's been some negotiation with private landholders, but that's much smaller. And then some talks also with the national forests, the Lewis and Clark National Forest, for example. There's been discussions there as well. And it's interesting that you use the word negotiate, because I think that that's exactly what's been happening, is that the tribe and the First Nations have been negotiating with the parks, with the Forest Service, to create basically create a landscape to create habitat that is big enough for the buffalo to roam freely.
So why is this restoration different from maybe what some people might think of as kind of like a more Western science-based project, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I think it's different in the sense that it's tribal led, and it's truly tribal led. And so, but what I think is really important about one of the many things that's important about the initiative is that there is a focus on Blackfoot knowledge and how Blackfoot knowledge is really leading this. But the Blackfoot folks involved also work really closely with Western scientists. There's not an idea that Blackfoot knowledge eclipses Western science, but that there's a partnership there as well. And for me, as someone who's been working on the social side of conservation for the last 20 years, I think that that's a it's an interesting change from what we saw 20 years ago, where there was a sense that, indigenous knowledge is like this, Western scientific knowledge is like that, and they're incommensurable. And what we're seeing now, with a lot of the indigenous-led environmental projects is that there's a sense that no, we can draw from both indigenous ways of knowing and Western scientific knowledge. And together, those enlarge our toolbox, if you will. They give us more tools to get buffalo back on the land. So I think a really close partnership there as well.
So for folks who are just joining us, I want to reintroduce you really quick. We're talking to Dr. Libby Lundstrom. She's the professor of environmental studies at Boise State. She's actually going to be speaking about the return of buffalo to Blackfoot lands at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute this Wednesday, March 13th. So you can hear more about that. But I also want to talk about a lot of the work that you've done across Africa, looking at conservation and indigenous communities. Can you talk about that work? And if what you've seen in Africa, is it all similar to the Blackfeet Project?
Yeah, so first the background on that, I've been working with Blackfoot for about the last 10 years in terms of having conversations with them about the return of buffalo. But my work in Southern Africa goes back to 2003, so I have a much longer engagement there. And I think the one thing that unites all of my work is that I look at the relationship between conservation and local and indigenous people. And so my work in Southern Africa has focused largely on the negative side of conservation, if you will, the negative side of parks. My dissertation work looked at the forced displacement of communities from Limpopo National Park in southern Mozambique. And then it moved into looking at the illegal wildlife trade, which was the South African state response to the illegal wildlife trade, was quite deadly for young men involved in that trade, in ways that had really severe repercussions for conservation, where local people were feeling like, why would I support conservation if it's killing my sons and killing my husbands, and so forth. And so I think one of the features that unites these projects, although I think they seem quite distinct as well, is that Glacier National Park has a similar history of dispossessing Indigenous people, in this case, the Blackfoot and the Salish Kootenai. But that happened a very long time ago, but it's still very fresh in tribal memory. And when we think about the buffalo coming back to tribal land, it's a way to repair that relationship between Glacier and the Blackfoot, and really to get the Blackfoot back into Glacier, so they have more ownership in a very real sense. And then if I sort of jump back to the work in Southern Africa, I think that that's this what we're hoping to see in some of those parks as well. This idea that, what would it take for local people to have more of a claim to those conservation areas so that they are more represented there as well. And so in some sense, I think the INI initiative, it's really inspiring beyond its own boundaries for rethinking power relationships between parks and local people, where local people, that was once their land, and how what are the means by which that land can more substantively become theirs again?
Do you think that this model is a model for the future for conservation projects?
Yeah, I do for sure. And it's interesting, the Global Biodiversity Conservation was just renewed last year, called the Global Biodiversity Framework. And it's often referred to as 30 by 30 because the goal there is to set aside and protect 30% of land and resources by the year 2030. And within that global treaty, and the US version of this is called the America the Beautiful Campaign. So within the global treaty and the America the Beautiful Campaign, we see this real push to protect more land and resources, but not to do it the way that it was done in the past, where you take a piece of land, draw a line around it, and say, that's a national park. All local people need to, they have to be evicted. There's a real push to do things differently, to do that in a way that not only doesn't dispossess local people, but that respects their rights, respects their worldviews, and recognizes that the ways in which Indigenous people often understand the natural world provides us tools for doing conservation better. It's not often just different, but better, creating kind of more holistic understandings of the natural world, and that we as people are part of that. We're not separate from that. So I think that this is a trend that we're seeing. I think the Blackfoot are leading, a leader in this space, but it is a trend that we're seeing more globally.
So I only have about 1 minute left with you. How long do you think it will take to get the buffalo back on this landscape?
That's a great question. There was an initial release of buffalo done in June, of over 40 animals. A lot of those animals actually went back to the reservation to where they were released. So I think there's plans for doing a bigger release and giving the animals more time to acclimate. But my guess is in this case of the buffalo reintroduction for the Blackfoot, probably within the year. So very soon.
Well, I want to thank you so much for this conversation. It's been really interesting. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
We've been talking with Dr. Libby Lundstrom, Professor of Environmental Studies at Boise State. She'll be speaking about the return of buffalo to Blackfoot lands at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute on Wednesday. We'll, of course, put links to that initiative on our website, boisestatepublicradio.org. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.